a joyful people on this earth, don't you?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
There really is no reason for us not to be joyful, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Just when we start eating from that old tree again, that old tree that goes back in ancient times, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Praise God.
But Father, now the tree of life is come.
Yes, Father.
Now the mind of Christ,
yes,
is come. And so, Father, we know that you're joyful.
Yes.
We know that there's great joy in heaven. We know that there's not even one tear being spilled in heaven. You said that you'd wipe away every tear. I guess there still are some tears when I think about it, Lord, the souls that are crying out under the altar.
Yes.
For those of us that are still here in the earth. But you want to bring earth, you want to bring heaven to earth.
Thank you.
And there's great joy in heaven. Father, we ask you to help us discern this word this morning, because we know that without exercising your mind, we're just going to be, it's just going to be an intellectual study about scriptures. And Father, we don't want that. I read a lot of commentaries this week, Lord, until I was overflowing with commentaries. And I woke up to the realization that it was all interesting intellectual stuff. And it was good. It was about the history, the times of David. But Lord, it wasn't really ministering substance to me. It really wasn't ministering life to my spirit. So I pray, God, that we will see these things through your eyes this morning. That's the only way that we're ever going to come to understand the ways of God and understand the nature of God, is to have the mind of God. The scripture says, you know, only the Spirit of God knows the things of God, same as the spirit of man knows the things of man. But we have the Spirit of God, and that's what is going to lead us and guide us this morning, Father, as we seek your face, Lord. Provide each one of us with what we need here this morning. You are the bread from heaven. And so just give us what we need this morning for your glory, Lord. Amen. That was one of the things I wrote down. You know, after reading this psalm, which is not a fun psalm to read, you know, the wicked crawl from the side of the cradle. The first words out of the womb are nothing but lies, poison, rattlesnake poison. Of course, he's talking about, you know, the nature that we're born in. As soon as you come out of your mother's womb, the only thing that's going to come out of your mouth is going to be lies, because that's the nature that we came into the earth in. But the Message Bible starts out in verse 1. Only take a minute to read it again. It says, is this any way to run a country? This is, of course, this is David crying out. He's looking at all the crooked politicians. Is there an honest politician in the house? Behind the scenes, you brew cauldrons of evil, and behind closed doors, you make deals with demons. And I was thinking to myself, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says there's nothing new under the sun.
Right, right.
You know, when he talks about under the sun, he's talking about this earth realm. He's not talking up in the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. And even as we read that scripture right there, is there an honest politician in the house?
Right.
I mean, right. How many times do we find ourselves saying that very same thing today, you know, as you look at what's going on in our nation? And it says, behind the scenes you brew cauldrons of evil. Behind closed doors you make deals with demons. And it says, the wicked crawl from the wrong side of the cradle. Their first words out of the womb are lies, poison, lethal rattlesnake poison. Well, rattlesnake or serpent, all the same thing, the old serpent nature. And it drips from their forked tongues. Deaf to threats, deaf to charm, decades of wax have built up in their ears. God smashed their teeth to bits. Leave them toothless tigers. Let their lives be buckets of water spilled, all that's left, a damp stain in the sand. Let them be trampled grass, worn smooth by the traffic. Let them dissolve into snail slime. Be a miscarried fetus that never sees sunlight. Before what they cook up is half done, God, throw it out into the garbage. The righteous will call up their friends when they see the wicked get their reward. Serve up their blood in goblets as they toast one another. Ooh, that's a cheery thought. Everyone cheering. It's worth it to play by the rules, David says. God's handing out trophies and tending the earth. Sheesh. What a song. Of course, you know, David, you can understand where he was coming from. His heart was, as I meditate on this, David's heart was really crying out for justice, for vindication. He wanted all the wrongs avenged, trying to do it as best as he could, and a lot of it came from his sword, the law. He wanted all the wrongs avenged. He wanted to see God's promises fulfilled to Israel and to himself. And of course, we have seen God's justice and vindication, and we've seen all the wrongs avenged at Calvary. Amen. David had to pick up a sword and try and avenge it through his own flesh and through his armies and through the strength that his armies had. Of course, it was a strength that the Lord provided him with. But we don't have to fight those battles anymore by our own strength. If anybody'd like to say anything about that. Verse 9, we're going to get down to verse 9 here. It says, before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. Well, I'll tell you, when you read that with the old law in your mind, the wrath of God, a whirlwind, and so on and so forth, it really sounds ugly and destructive and so on and so forth. But then, you know, then Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, the law works wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgressions. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. This whole psalm here, men are trying to avenge themselves against their enemy and all that. And then Jesus says, beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. That is like Romans 12:19, I think, somewhere in there. Yeah. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. And that's another thing, too. I looked up vengeance in the Old Testament. I looked up vengeance in the New. And there's even a difference between vengeance of the Old and vengeance of the New. And I forget, Oscar, what was it? You talked, I've heard you say several times about you was reading a psalm where...
It was Isaiah chapter 61.
Yeah, you might want to...
Okay, let me pull it up here. So
sure.
Just quote it.
Did it, you know. Too lazy.
Okay. One time years ago, the Lord dealt with me about Isaiah chapter 61. And I'll just read it to you here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of prison unto them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus, when he came forth in his ministry, he got up and he took the book of Isaiah and he began to read. And he read to that point and he stopped. And he said, and this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But he didn't read the rest of it. And, you know, he stopped in mid-sentence there. Said, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it goes on and says, and the day of vengeance of our God. And when the Lord drew me to that one time, I felt like the Lord was saying, okay, now, ask me some questions. Because I do ask questions of God when I'm doing things. You know, I always ask who, what, why, where, when, and how does this apply? That's always what I tend to think about as I'm reading Scripture, and I'm basically questioning the Lord. And when I said to him, I said, okay, Lord, he basically was saying, well, how am I going to get vengeance? And I said, well, okay, Lord, how are you going to get vengeance? He said, well, read on down. And he said, vengeance of our God. And it says, to comfort all that mourn. And I thought, now wait a minute, God, that's not my view of your vengeance. You know, your vengeance is, boy, you're going to get them, and you're going to really burn them up, and you're going to really have, you know, really pound them down into the ground, you know, when they do something bad. But no, he said, to comfort all that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, that's a whole different picture of God's vengeance. And then I felt like the Lord said, you know, my ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far my ways are above your ways. And you know, Jesus one time when he was with the disciples, and I think Peter, one of them, said to him, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven? Mm-hmm. Like they called down fire at that one time. Consumed the prophets of Baal and all that stuff. They consumed the sacrifice, and then, you know, he ended up slaughtering the prophets of Baal. But Jesus told them, he said, you know not what spirit you're of. And, you know,
that's good right there.
Yeah.
That's Selah.
Yeah.
You know not what spirit you're of. Cause,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because that's the thing, see, is that his ways are not our ways. Mm-hmm. And our ways are, if somebody does something, in the natural especially, if somebody does something bad to us, what do?
I'm going to get it back.
Just wait, they'll be sorry. You know, that's the thoughts that come to you in the natural mind. But I'm telling you why. When you're operating in the Spirit,
the mind of Christ,
you begin to bless them.
Bless them, yes.
Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that spitefully use you. And like it says on up in, I believe it's even in Romans 12 chapter, it says, and in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of Christian folks, if you talk to them about it, they say, what's these coals of fire? Oh, they're going to burn in hell forever. You know, we've been there. God's going to really burn them up. No, it's like what happened in Isaiah also. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up.
Yeah.
And his train filled the temple.
Yes.
And the seraphim cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had that revelation, when Isaiah had that revelation of the Lord high and lifted up, his response was, woe is me.
Yes.
For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of that are unclean. And then the seraphim took the coals off of the altar and touched his lips. And the Lord said, who shall I send? Well, after that happened, he began to say, send thou me, Lord, send thou me. He was ready to go. Because guess what? The fire of God had touched him, had purified him.
Yes.
And when we realize that the fire of God is not a destructive thing, but it's a cleansing. Our God is a consuming fire. He wants to consume all the wood, hay, and stubble in our lives. I don't know if I should keep going on.
Sure.
But anyway, you know, like it says, I believe in Corinthians, where it talks about, you know, that if the princes of this age had known what they were doing, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory, you know.
Right.
And he goes on and he talks about that the wood, the hay, and the stubble in all of our lives basically is going to be burned up, that only the precious will remain. Well, the only thing precious in you or me or any of us is the amount of the Lord. It's him. He's the precious. I mean, he's the pearl of great price. He's the ruby beyond compare, the emerald beyond compare, and all those things, and it's his nature. And, you know, when we realize that the picture of the vengeance of God we have is one of that was under the old covenant, which if he had been extremely merciful under that old covenant, there would have been no need for the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had to show that by the law, no one was going to be justified.
Yeah, the contrast,
by the law,
everyone
was going to be guilty, you know. But yet, the beautiful thing is that with Jesus, and not, like I say, I don't mean to keep going, but with Jesus, when he was crucified, it says that literally he went down and preached to the souls that were in captivity unto Noah's day. And it says, and he led captivity captive.
Yes.
So guess what? When he leads captivity captive, it's no longer in captivity because he sets it free. And that's what he did. He set those people free, those souls that had sinned in the days of Noah. And, you know, the church out there is going to be really shocked when it comes to judgment, the actual judgment of God, when all of a sudden they realize that, know you not that the saints are going to judge the world. And if he says to you, that, you know, and he basically gave examples of this, of the person that owed a little bit of money to his master, and he went to his master, and his master forgave him, and then that person had somebody that owed him money. Well, he went to that person and was going to throw him in jail and had the tormentors torment him and everything else. And he said, you know, he basically was saying, if you don't judge with the same judgment I judge with, you're going to be in trouble yourself. So he's judged with total forgiveness to us. He's judged with love and with mercy and all those things. Because there ain't one of us that doesn't deserve to die, you know. And we do. And yet he's given us life. And he wants to give it to us abundantly, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the things that this Psalm 58 is showing me. You know, like you said before, Oscar, that was actually a verse I was going to hit on that, but...
No,
it's confirmation. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. And I think when you read the Old Testament and you look at Jesus when he comes and what he says versus what you see in the old, that's I think the way we can check ourselves. You know not what manner of spirit you are. I think whenever we find ourselves, well, I know whenever we find ourselves thinking with the old man, and the old man is, I'll pay you back or you'll get yours, blah, blah, blah. And when we start feeling those types of emotions, I mean, I think that should be a checkpoint right there, that I'm not thinking with the mind of Christ.
Right.
I'm thinking with the mind of the old man. And Eduardo, friend of all of ours here, who keep him in prayer, but he had an old saying from his gang in the gang days. They always used to say to each other, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when you're sensing those kind of feelings and those kind of emotions, I think of Eduardo, you know, saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Okay? Yes,
because
Lord,
when we're flowing in that spirit, okay, the old Adamic nature, the carnal way of thinking, we need to, first off, clamp our mouth, clamp our mouth, because you know what's going to come out next, okay? So, but that's the thing that I'm getting out of this psalm here. God smashed their teeth to bits, leave them like toothless tigers, blah, blah, you know, make them like snails, you know. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. You know?
What David didn't really realize is all those real enemies were dwelling right
yeah.
inside of him.
Yes.
I don't think he really realized that, you know.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Reason.
Yeah.
Just like Joel Osteen, I was telling Betty and Sue this morning, he said, focus on the promises, not on the problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
because
good.
It's all problems. I mean, anything in this world, you're going to find a problem somewhere. And if you're focusing on the problem, you know, the old thing, you know, focus on the solution versus the problem. Well, the solution are the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you focus on, I mean, you just keep quoting those scriptures no matter what kind of week you're having, no matter what kind of trials and tribulations you're going through, no matter what kind of fiery darts are being sent your way, if you keep that attitude of, you know, and that perspective of, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know. And greater is he that is in me than he that is out there shooting these fiery darts, whatever that means. You know?
Well, I think that's, Rich, I think that's what Paul was saying when he was talking about think on these things that are good and lovely. I don't think we really have to look for problems. I agree with you. The problems, they're always in front of us.
Be there, yeah.
As soon as you get up in the morning, that's right. Like Oscar was saying, the enemy is already it's inside the camp.
Yeah.
You know, that old mind of ours. And Paul continuously admonish the church to get their mind renewed and to think on those things that are lovely and of a good report. And we find, really, that the more we do study the Word, the more we gather with each other, the more we can check ourselves, for the Holy Spirit actually checks us. It's up to us to be obedient to the check. Let's put it that way. Because you almost inevitably know every time you're thinking wrong thinking, stinking thinking, or whatever. The Holy Spirit's always there to check you, you know, and then it's up to us to say, okay, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, or I'm going to go ahead and let this poison come out of my mouth, you know.
Yes.
But the other thing is just, you know, what are you putting your eyes on? Are you putting your eyes on something that is insurmountable? Because I'm telling you, some of the problems we have in the natural, there's no solution. There's no way out. You know, you're stuck. And until you get those eyes, those spiritual eyes, you know, get rid of the natural eyes, get the spiritual eyes on, then you can see God's hand in everything. You know?
Same thing with praying. Charles Capp says, pray the solution, not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With the prayer, oh Lord, I got this cancer, I got this, I got that, I got. He says, pray the solution and not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have any of this.
That's right. Well, it's all what you focus on. You know? I mean, it's so easy to get off track. It is so easy to let these problems or circumstances consume you.
Yes.
You know, and if you don't have, you know, if you don't obey the check of the Holy Spirit, then you will be consumed. And it could be an hour, it could be a half a day, it could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a lifetime. Yeah, some people, they're consumed with their problems for a lifetime. You know, and they could be Christians. But they're not obeying that check. They're not obeying, they're not seeing the promises. They're seeing the problems. You know, it's just so true. Every day you will have to wake up and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to focus on your promises, not on the problems. Because the problems will be there.
I agree. Several times the New Testament talks about how you get delivered is through the knowledge of him. It's through the knowledge of him. And I think as long as, you know, our perspective, as long as we're focused on just knowing him, who is the promise, because he said, when you see me, then you become like me, you know. I mean, that's what changed everybody in this room. And this is kind of simplistic thinking, but I've been giving a lot of thought to this. You know, 35 or 40 years ago, I changed dramatically because I saw him. And I think that Christians forget that first principle. How did you actually change your life? How did you get off of drugs? how did your nature change? Mm-hmm. It came through receiving Christ, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, and in many cases, it's quite a dramatic change for some people. Some people, it's just a gradual, slow change. Mm-hmm. But I can only speak from my own personal experience. When I saw him, there was a dramatic change that took place in me. So that should tell me that if I continue to see him, there's going to be continual change in me. Mm-hmm. But I think the great mistake that's made in Christianity today is they see the Lord, they do change, they know they're saved, which gives them a great peace and a great joy, but they never really go on and perfect that change to the uttermost part. You know, you're saved to the uttermost. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Yes.
You know, we got salvation, but now we want to go unto the fullness of that salvation. Mm-hmm. And the only way that we can possibly do that is to stay focused on him. Mm-hmm. And I love the prayer that some guy named Walter prayed. Lord, I've come back here to be in your presence. I don't want anything. I just want to know you. That was his prayer. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I just want to know you.
Yes.
And needless to say, all his needs were met and so on and so forth. But I don't know when that really starts. At least it really has been sinking down into my spirit that why did you change in the first place? I saw the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, how are you going to continue to change? By seeing the Lord. Mm-hmm. By seeking his face.
Absolutely.
You know, not by seeking his prosperity, not by, you know, but just by recognizing Calvary and what happened on Calvary, the death and the burial and the resurrection. And that's all Paul preached. He says, you know, the only thing I've preached to you guys is death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we bring here. That's the message that Hal was bringing. It was all about go back to the cross. Look at the cross. What happened on the cross? You were perfected. It was finished there. When Oscar was talking about Isaiah, the coal that touched his lips, where did that coal come from? The coals came from the outer court. And the laver, isn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong there, teacher. But where those, there's coals in the outer court, isn't there? Where the sacrifice?
Well, there's okay. Coals out there. Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of see that as it's like the Lord took the coals from the outer court and touched his lips with it. It's kind of like he went back to the death and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and took the coals off of that altar and touched his tongue or whatever, touched his lips with it.
Well, being that you were talking about that, when you go back into Isaiah, I did a study on that one time, and in the year of the king Uzziah. Uzziah's name meant strength of God is what it really meant, Uzziah. Strength of Yah, you know. And, I studied into his life, the king, to find out what happened to him. He was made king when he was a boy. And it says that he sought the counsel of the priests and of his mother. So listen to your mother. They love you. They're going to tell you good most of the time. But anyway, he sought the counsel of his priests and of his mother when he was made king. And it said, and he was marvelously helped. That's good. I mean, you know, when you're marvelously helped,
amen,
that's real good.
Yeah.
It says, until. And boy, anytime something says till or until, mm-hmm. and you know that the hammer's about ready to get dropped. Mm. And it says, until he became strong. Mm. When he became strong, and he started making weapons of war, and he decided to go in and go in and do the service of a priest, to go in and offer the sacrifices to the Lord. And he wasn't called to do that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, what would that be? Now, what would that be equivalent to today, as far as us as Christians in our walk? You know, when we grow strong in our own strength and we start making our own sacrifices, would that be like going to the Lord with all our works of righteousness and,
well,
look at what we've done, Lord, in your name, and we've built we've built these great buildings.
I think you could equate that to a lot of the real large ministries that have come forth in our day, that, you know, they got big in themselves,
mm-hmm.
and it began to get super lavish and super, mm-hmm. you know, super everything, mm-hmm. and they begin to justify stuff that really God didn't tell them to do.
I know your works, your labor of love. but I have this one thing against you.
Right. You left your first love. That's right.
Right.
And I believe we can see that, and we can do that in our own lives.
Yes.
We can begin to get puffed up and think, well, bless God, I've come a long way. Usually when I think I've come very far, I find out I ain't come very far at all. I've got to let something crop up.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, does it?
Doesn't take much. He has a way of putting you right back down.
Yeah,
there.
You
know, realizing that it's all about him and not about
yes.
you. But anyway, you know, I think that's it, you know. And when you realize that when it said the seraphim took the coal off the altars, and it said the seraphim had six wings, with twain he did fly, with two he did fly, with two he did cover his face, and two he did cover his feet. Well, the Lord dealt with me about that one time, and I did some studying into seraphims, and I was thinking when I studied about seraphims, I was going to say it was before this beautiful angelic being, you know, and no, it wasn't. It was a winged serpent. A winged serpent. And so when I looked at that, I thought, okay, Lord, what are you saying? He said, well, in your life, when I begin to minister to you, and the serpent nature that tries to be inside of you, the carnal mind or the kind of carnal nature, when you can no longer see its face, when you can no longer see its feet, and it just soars in the heavenlies with the two wings of prayer and praise, then it will have the ability to take the coals off the altar and to touch other people's lives. And we all have that nature going on right inside of us, you know, because, you know, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It's all talking about the temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all types and shadows of what's going on right inside of you.
Yes.
And right inside of me, because know you not that you're the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that nature has to be covered. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that, you know, that you could go into there concerning a lot of the angelic stuff that we picture as being all these angels and everything, but you know, there's a lot of types and shadows there and a lot of that stuff. But
I thought it was very good how Lynn made the statement that it's sad that we're 2,000 years away from the cross and still operating a lot under the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because, you know, you're what is the first things that you're taught as a kid? What's the word that you learn first above almost any other word that's said to you the most?
No.
No.
No, don't do that. No, no, no.
And
no,
right
no.
And wrong.
And what does the little kid do? Exactly what you told them not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll smack their hands, or you'll do whatever you do to make them quit. And they'll go back and do it again. Eventually, after a while, if your will's stronger than theirs, they'll quit.
Yeah.
But we're actually, whether we realize it or not, we're bringing them under a law too.
But they're still standing up in their heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, as the old saying
yeah.
goes, they're still rebellious
well,
in their heart.
Well, they're putting their toes up on the line.
Yeah, they
know,
may not be doing it again, but in their heart they're going.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing about it is until he writes his laws in our hearts and in our minds and
That's
our sins
it.
And our iniquities, he remembers no more.
That's it.
We're going to still struggle with the law.
Yes,
to a certain
that's it.
Extent.
Well, and that's the beauty about, you know, entering into the third day, I believe, because I believe that that's what the Lord is doing. I believe he is starting to write his word in our hearts.
Yes.
And I love the next verse. And it goes something like, and he will cause them. Not only will he write the word in our heart, but he will cause it to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he says a lot of things in our heart right now that still doesn't come to pass. I mean, there's still things I think that the Lord may say to us, desire for us to do, whatever, and for whatever reasons we don't seem to do them. But so.
Yeah, that song, I just love that song. Yeah, I saw the Lord, he is high and lifted up. You know, when he's high and lifted up, and that train fills the temple, it's everything you need. You know, you can touch the hem of that and get healed. You can, you know, the train is the Melchizedek priesthood. You can't see that Melchizedek priesthood until that train fills that temple. His presence, I mean, when it's filled, when it, this glass is filled, it's filled. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't, it didn't say a halfway fills the temple. Mm-hmm. It says it fills the temple.
Yes.
And when it's filled, you can't put any more in it. So guess what? When it you put more in it, it's got to spill out to others.
One and two, you got to realize, what did it take for that to happen? What happened before that? Uzziah had to die.
The old man.
Uzziah had to die. And Uzziah's name means strength.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember when David, in the Old Testament, when David went down to get the cart, took a cart down to bring the Ark of the Covenant up into Jerusalem, they put it on a brand new cart with a, you know, nice, whatever it was, to pull it, probably a donkey or whatever it was, or oxen or whatever, and they started down the road. And Uzziah, the God said, and God shook the cart. You know, God will shake your cart once in a while.
Yes.
He will. He'll shake your cart. And buddy, you don't like it when he does, and you think everything's falling apart. And it says, and God shook the cart. And it said, and Uzziah, that was the guy's name, or Uzzah, reached up and tried to steady the things of God. And boy, when strength reaches up and tries to steady the thing of God, look out. And God killed him. And what does that tell you? That tells you that, man, when you start trying to do stuff in your own strength, you're going to be in trouble.
Yep.
Yes.
You're going to die some. It's going to end up killing you. And we can only go in the strength of the Lord. And that's like that scripture that says, let the weak say I'm what?
Strong.
But you realize you're weak.
Yes.
But your strength is in him. It's not in you.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the difference between that scripture there. Is when you realize it's all about him and not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that in yourself you can do nothing, but in Christ you can do all things.
Yes.
And boy, that's a hard lesson to learn. Because we want to grab the bull by the horns and make something happen half the time. And that just don't work, you know. It just don't work.
We sure do.
Yes.
Corinthians 10:5 says we are to cast down, I think this gets back a little bit to what Rich was saying, 10:5, we are to cast down imaginations.
Yes.
And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when Christ... Yeah, one translation, Colossians 3:4 says, instead of saying, when Christ who is our life, this one translation said, when Christ our life shall appear.
That's right.
I like that. When Christ our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You know, we're walking in a degree of glory right now in the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, that's what's been revealed to us when we got saved and we got born again. You know, you felt that resurrection life inside of you. And I keep going back to my salvation experience. I don't know what it is that the Lord's trying to say to me, but he's just making, it's becoming more of a reality. You know, the night that we got saved, the day you got saved, it was really the glory of God that came into your temple, that entered your temple. I mean, the reality of there was a great change that took place in our life that day, you know. And now we got to seek that glory and immortality, you know, that's in him. But it says, when Christ our life shall appear, then shall you appear also with him in glory. And I wrote down here the word casting is in the present progressive tense, whatever that. So we are to constantly be casting down vain and wasteful thoughts.
Yes.
And bring them into the obedience, I added this, and bring them into the obedience of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can't really get these thoughts out of our head. But the only way that I believe that we can accomplish that is to go back to Calvary and say, this has already been accomplished. I don't think the Lord wants us to enter into warfare with these thoughts. You know, oh, why am I always thinking this? Oh, I wish I could stop thinking that way. I think the Lord, at least the Lord keeps ushering me back to the cross. He keeps saying, you don't have to war with those things. These things have already been paid for. When that crown of thorns was put on my head, that took care of all the confusion that you're walking in. That's what that crown meant. On my head, those thorns pierced my head. And all the confusion that you're experiencing, stop making warfare with it. The war is over. The battle is over. It's finished. And whenever you're plagued with this, go back to the cross and say, it's finished. Because any other way we try and deal with this, it's going to be through our carnal resources, and we're not going to be able to defeat those things. I think this is the reason why a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists end up committing suicide, because, you know, they're taking soulish intellectualism and they're trying to deal with soulish problems, and there really is no answer for these problems other than through Jesus Christ, the power of God, to deliver us from these things. So don't make warfare with it. Go back to the cross. Understand it's finished. Yes, ma'am.
Makes me think of that one verse in the Bible that I've been giving an awful lot of, just since listening to Lynn Hiles, and he's given me a new way of looking at some things. That one verse where Jesus said, don't think that I came to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it.
He fulfilled
the law.
Yes, praise God.
It's done.
Yeah, amen.
And there's been
it's
a
good.
New awareness in
our
life.
Yes.
That's the only way. We
right.
can't fulfill the law.
Right.
We can't destroy the law. He fulfilled the law on our behalf.
That's
and
good.
There's something so unbelievable about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's what he wants us to
get the revelation
put
of.
Our trust in.
Amen. Amen.
Warfare, I see it, is, I mean, there is warfare, but it's like I picture walking through, you know, the battle, and it says pulling down strongholds. Boom, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone. And that's the warfare. It's like boom, 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 and it's behind you, you know. And it's not something you talk to it and, you know, massage it or try to sword fight with it. You just pull it down. It says pulling down strongholds. So if it's the strongholds are up here. So if it's up here, you got to pull it, get it out of there. And the only way to get it out of there is move it behind. Like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for the prize of high calling. I mean,
and like Lynn also said, when John was on the island of Patmos, which is the place of my killing, he looked behind him. He wasn't killing himself. He looked behind him at the cross and realized that that was the place of his killing, that he died there. Okay? Christ said, it's, you know, I have been crucified with Christ. Not Christ was crucified for me, although he was, but Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And that's beautiful. You know, when he was on the island, the place of his killing, he looked behind him. It's already finished. I don't have to kill myself. I don't have to fight these battles, okay? Isaiah said it all when he said he's been wounded for your transgressions. I don't even have to quote it. You all know the scripture backward and forward. But as long as we can just hold on to those things and believe those things, you know, they didn't enter into the promised land. Jesus is our promised land, right? They didn't enter in because of their unbelief. Unbelief in what area? We simply have got to believe that Jesus has accomplished it all for us.
Yes.
And if we believe into that, we'll see that. We'll see the realization and the manifestation of that.
And don't you love where he drew that comparison to the lamb in the Old Testament?
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, and that, you know, the priest did not even look at the person who
drew
the lamb. He didn't even say, well, you've got the shortcoming of that. All he did was inspect the lamb.
That's it.
The lamb was the perfect lamb of God. He inspected the lamb and he said, yes. And they sacrificed the lamb and the sins of the person were forgiven. And he was never even inspected. The lamb was inspected.
Yeah, there was a big spirit of condemnation that flew right out of that building when he was given that example.
What?
Because everyone walks in that condemnation. Oh, God, I know you're looking at me. I did it again. No, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the Lamb that's without spot and without wrinkle. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the Lamb.
He's not
because
mad
he
at
took
he's
your
mad
place.
About you.
That's exactly right. That's good. Oh, one more verse before we quit. Did you have something, Richard? Okay. I just want to leave us with this verse. Beloved, above all things, I wish that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Mm-hmm. Beloved, above all things. I think it's neat when he says, above all things, mm-hmm. I pray that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Oscar, I know you got one more thing to add.
Yeah.
You better.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, years ago one time the Lord gave me that song that I wrote, the only song I've ever written. I've written poems, but this was written as a song. And the words to it was, he paid it all so that we might live. He paid it all, what more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known. He ascended, and I originally wrote ascended, and Linda had me change it to descended, but it was actually ascended. Mm-hmm. When he ascended from God's throne, he paid it all so that we might live. Mm-hmm. And this life is yours today if you'll trust him and obey. He paid it all so that we might live. You know, mm-hmm. But that was basically the words of the song. You know,
yes.
And we don't really realize that if something is paid for in full, then you own it. You know what I mean? If it's paid for, I mean, you know, we live in a society where we buy things on credit, so it's not usually totally paid for. We get a new car and they say, oh, that's my new car. Well, really, it's yours in the bank.
Until you get paid for it.
But when it's paid for and you receive the title, then it's really your car, and the bank has no claim on that car. And you know, really, when we realize that Jesus did pay all of the debt of our sin, and I'm glad you quoted that scripture, you know, we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ, you know, but Christ. Mm-hmm. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Yes, amen.
You know, and because I was going to scripture. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah.
But you know that's a great scripture, because when we realize that the life we now live, according to the sacrifice He made, is His life. It's not ours. And boy, I tell you,
grace.
That's hard to take in. I mean, that's hard to totally take in.
We got to believe into that, though.
Yeah. We are believing into it.
Yes, we are.
It's a gradual
Amen.
Thing. It is.
We're taking the land. Yeah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Kathy. Say a prayer. Say a prayer, please.
I am.
Or sing a prayer. I don't
Hallelujah.
Care.
Hallelujah. We are able to go up and take the cup.
Yes. Yes.
Father, thank you for your spirit that dwells within us. Thank you for our awareness of that spirit with us today. All day. Just stay with us. Oh, no. Sorry, Father. Just let us be aware that you are staying with us all day. And bless the service that's about to be.
Yes.
Father, keep us open to the things you're trying to show us.
Mm-hmm.
Father, help us to just love you with things in Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
No, I brought it in.
Today, but I give the hard
guy. Can you get one?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Ye